Hi, this is Pat Metheny, and you're listening to the Music Journey Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Music Journeys podcast. I'm Mike Foley, quite a creative and talented individual for this episode. Pat Metheny has spent most of his life trying to play the best he can and truly understand music. Here on Music Journeys, you'll hear Metheny's thoughts on a variety of things. His early days growing up in a small Missouri town, his college teaching days as a teenager himself, his collaboration with David Bowie, his robotic instrument project and how he plans to revisit that again, what he's up to now with his Side Eye tour that's coming to Columbus on Saturday, and much more. I'm also anxious to find out if you'll be as stunned as I was by his response to one of the Fast Five questions. Pat Metheny, our featured guest on this edition of Music Journeys. Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Pat Metheny, and this is my music journey.
With more than 40 full-length recordings, numerous collaborations, and creative sounds, it's hard to get Pat Metheny to choose one that stands out, but there's no question the song Last Train Home holds some extra meaning.
Yeah, that's a special one. Where I grew up in Missouri, the first 5 years of my life, my bedroom was literally 5 yards or maybe 10 yards from the Missouri Pacific Railroad track. So I grew up literally with the sound of trains in my head for the first 5 years of life. And trains in general are kind of a thing, I think, that represents a lot of the aspects of the Midwest and, you know, where I grew up. And so that's a, you know, it's rare that I can make that sort of direct A to B line in between life and music. And in fact, I like that it's rare. But that one is pretty straight ahead.
Home for Metheny was Lee's Summit, Missouri. Born in 1954, he grew up surrounded by musical activities.
My dad was a very good trumpet player. My mom's dad was a professional trumpet player. My older brother, Mike, is a fantastic trumpet player. He made a few records of his own along the way. And I started playing trumpet myself when I was very young. So it wasn't jazz. It was more just kind of trumpet, you know, like good trumpet playing was a thing. So that, you know, that's extremely formative for me to have had that. But my parents were also the kind of people that listened to a lot of music. There was a lot of like Henry Mancini and stuff like that, you know, going on in the house. And I was also kind of geographically lucky to be plopped on the earth in the kind of general area of Kansas City, Missouri. I actually grew up in a little town 30 miles or so away from Kansas City. But, you know, one thing kind of led to the next. You know, I'm right in the middle of that generation where the electric guitar became sort of a thing, you know, in the mid-60s, thanks to the Beatles and rock and roll and all that. And I was attracted to that as a little kid, but I very quickly got interested in the general area of music that I've been involved with all these years, having to do with improvisation. My brother brought home a Miles Davis record that kind of changed the universe for me. Because Kansas City was right there, very quickly I was able to kind of get good enough that I could start getting gigs around Kansas City. And I really learned to play kind of on the bandstand by being around great musicians. And from that, kind of just one thing very naturally led to the next. next thing I knew, I was playing with Gary Burton and started my own band. And, you know, the main issue for me has been the same all through the years, which is to try to play good and to try to understand music. You know, that's still kind of what I wake up every morning trying to do.
So skilled with the guitar at a young age, Matheny actually began teaching college students at the age of 18.
You know, by the time I was 17 or 18, I'd been playing gigs for several years with great musicians. So I was, you know, as a teenager, already pretty experienced as a professional level player. That said, I was terrible in school and somehow or another got recruited to go to the University of Miami at a moment where, for the first time, they opened up the curriculum there to allow electric guitar to be an actual instrument that you could major in. And instead of having five or six guitar players, as they usually did, suddenly they had 80. So they ended up hiring me as a teacher. And it was, you know, really, when I think about it now, the age thing then and now has never been that much of a thing for me. You know, I've always played with people a lot older than me or now people a lot younger than me, and it's sort of like music is oblivious to that somehow. It's always about, you know, what does somebody sound like? And I mean, I still play pretty regularly with Roy Haynes, who's 93 or 94 now. And, you know, the other day I got together with a kid who was about 15. And, you know, once you go one, two, one, two, three, four, you know, you're in the world of music and the chronology of things doesn't matter that much.
In December 1975, at the age of 21, Matheny recorded his first album, Bright Size Life. Since that first release, Matheny has been dubbed Best Jazz Guitarist. He's won 20 Grammy Awards in multiple categories, and those victories came in four consecutive decades. First in 1982 for the album Off Ramp, and most recently 2012 for the album Unity Band.
One thing that's especially great about music is how whatever you put into it, you get it back like 10,000 times over. So, you know, things that I was working on and learning 20 years ago are just now starting to blossom in ways that I would not have even anticipated back then. And there's kind of an infinity of those things. And, you know, through music, I kind of learned about science and art and history and culture and colors and everything else, you know. I mean, music is a very unique representation of what it is to exist in the world. And it's a constant unfolding for me of information and inspiration. honestly, I can't imagine how limiting it would be to have to write words, because to me, one of the great things about music is the way that it is able to communicate itself strictly in sound. I mean, I've been around some great singers who write great words. I have to really put all of my attention on trying to hear what the words are, because honestly, that seems incidental to me compared to everything else. You know, to me, the sound of somebody's voice carries sort of infinite more information than anything they could ever say. But that's me, because I'm somebody who is really happy to deal with the abstraction of, you know, what music is. In fact, that to me is maybe the best part of it, is that it allows endless interpretation by each listener to bring their story to it without it being dictated by a text.
Matheny's also been able to collaborate with some of his favorite musicians, including Herbie Hancock, Chick Corea, Joni Mitchell, and John Scofield. There's even a track he did with David Bowie.
Yeah, it was a great experience. And you know, it's funny because being around him, it really reminded me of being around like Sonny Rollins or something. I mean, it was the sense of being kind of in proximity to somebody who was just great at what they did, and who, in his case, I would also add, he's one of the most genuinely smart people I have ever encountered. I mean, his ability to kind of be in the moment was really striking. And it was a fantastic experience. And that is one of the great protest songs, really is, despite what I was saying earlier about, you know, my sort of reticence towards text. The text of that piece is really something that has particular resonance right at the moment.
About 10 years ago, Matheny did something unique, even for him. With the Orchestrion project, Matheny paired himself with a number of mechanical and robotic instruments. He explained the process in a series of videos.
Every instrument is capable of getting instructions, sort of from a variety of sources. Being a guitar player, mostly I gave it instructions from the guitar, which, just in a simple way, if I play a note, and you can see that pretty much as I do everything, the physical event occurs. And it's that way for all the instruments.
the first thing I always say about that project and that whole experience is that it put to rest once and for all the question about just how weird I actually am. To go around the world for a year and play concerts with, you know, 100 different robotic instruments all playing at the same time, it was really an amazing and unique experience that, you know, really had not been tried before. And I still feel like it's a really viable set of tools. I mean, it's not better than anything else, and it's not worse than anything else. It's different. You know, at some point, I hope to re-examine the possibilities of what can happen in that realm. I mean, even in the last 10 years, there's been some amazing advances in the tech that would make the next, you know, the version two of that really even more interesting. So I'm looking forward to that at some point.
Now 65, Matheny's passion today involves working with younger artists that catch his ear to give back in the way his mentors did for him. Touring on this leg of his Side Eye project, James Francis on keyboard and piano, and drummer Marcus Gilmore.
Well, James is one of those musicians that comes along infrequently, who, in addition to just being a great musician and, you know, having a deep understanding of kind of how everything works, he's also a real original. I can't think of a precedent in a way for the kind of musician that James is. And that's always extremely exciting to me because I've been around for a while. A lot of, you know, younger musicians have grown up listening to my thing and have really absorbed it. It's kind of part of their thing too. You know, James is a great example of that. He really knows my stuff. And for that reason, he's able to kind of find a spot in the music kind of blended with his original approach that kind of honors both. As far as drums go, this time playing with me is Marcus Gilmore, who I've known since he was a kid because he's Roy Haynes's grandson. It's great. And Marcus, to me, is one of the best drummers of his generation. And drums, to me, are the thing that matters more than anything.
Matheny has new songs for the tour, but also identifies which songs in his own catalog can capture the best of how the three sound together.
Well, what's great is that those guys can take tunes that have been around for a while and kind of find a different look at them. I mean, we've been doing a version of a tune called Better Days Ahead that James kind of had a take on how to do it that's really cool. But yeah, I'm writing a lot of music. In fact, I'm sitting here right now kind of putting the finishing touches on a couple that we'll be playing, you know, for the first time in this next round of gigs. And that, in a way, I like both. I mean, I like hearing what those guys can bring to something, but I also really enjoy, and I've always enjoyed, trying to write music to address the strengths of the musicians that I'm about to do a tour with or a project with. In a lot of ways, as the years go by, and I am really happy to say that I've gathered more of a sense of music and what music actually is, and hopefully playing better nightly and so forth, you know, all the things that kind of come with living a life inside of music. You know, one interesting thing that does start to appear for me is that I almost feel like I don't even have to play. I can just kind of stand there and just listen. More and more, I realize it's about listening more than it's about doing. It's about kind of kind of inhabiting the space of where the music is more than some activity of wiggling your fingers around, whatever. I mean, it's to me, the best music is always coming from the response that is generated by the listener inside me rather than the guy who's a guitar player or whatever.
Matheny also took part in the Fast Five, and maybe you'll be surprised as I was by his final response. Here we go. First song you can remember hearing that you loved.
Red Sails in the Sunset.
Red sails in the sunset, way out on the sea. Oh, carry my loved one home safely to me. She sailed at the dawning. All day I've been blue. Red sails in the sunset. I'm trusting in you.
I guess I was about two, and apparently I sang that over and over again.
That's great. How about the song that makes you feel the most nostalgic?
Wow. I try to avoid nostalgia if I can, because to me that's like one of the most serious forms of unrequited love. And, you know, to me, the music that I know what you mean by nostalgic, but the music that I really love, every time I hear it, it's like the first time I ever heard it. I mean, the tune that kind of comes to mind is the tune Wichita Lineman.
I know I need a small vacation, but it don't look like rain. And if it snows, that stretch down south won't ever stand the strain. And I need you more than won't you. And I want you for all time. And the Wichita lineman is still on the line.
And I always joke to people, because it's true, that pretty much every tune I've ever written is kind of Wichita Lineman, basically. But it's not exactly nostalgia, but it's more that it inspires me to sort of reflect. And I think that's kind of what a lot of people mean by nostalgia.
Absolutely, reflecting. And that, for me, that last train home really does that. I'm listening to that and I just reflect back on, it could be specific things or just moments in time.
That's great.
How about your go-to song for dancing or a tune that you hear and you just can't sit still when you hear it?
I am one of the most not dancing people, not because I have no rhythm or anything like that. My wife is an incredible dancer, and I appreciate people dancing. I'm happy everybody can dance. But honestly, if I hear music that I really love, it incapacitates me. It's not that I don't respond to the groove. It's just that I can't. It's kind of the same way if somebody's talking to me while, like, let's say Earth, Wind, and Fire is on, which maybe that's like groove kind of music. It's like I can't talk to people. I can't do anything except listen.
We'll be right back.
and sort of try to understand what it is as music. So no, I can't speak from a position of authority with that.
How about the song that makes you feel like working out or motivates you to do something?
I think anything that's good does that to me. I mean, you know, to me it's like, and it's actually as sort of ecumenical as my tastes are, it's really hard for me to find music that I can really listen to and sort of just kind of be with it. So, you know, I mean, we've talked about Miles Davis a few times. Pretty much any time Miles is playing, I feel like, okay, everything's going to be okay. You know, I can just chill.
That's great. Oh, my last one, the song that lifts you up when you're feeling down.
You know, my favorite thing is nothing. My favorite thing is no song, silence, you know. And if I'm not feeling good, I just don't want to hear anything. I want to, like, really understand the nothing so that maybe out of that can come something. And so it's like that for me.
That's an amazing answer. Do you think that's because your life is so filled with music and sound that you need a little bit of a break from it?
I don't think of it as a break. I think of it as that's the kind of foundation. And I think when you don't feel good, it's because maybe you're not aware of what it's all based on. You know, like you're not aware of the earth under your feet. And in the case of music, which is such a sort of essential, fundamental part of what my life is, the foundation is silence. And it's out of that that I can find solutions.
A little silence, acknowledging his choice for that final question, still in awe by the simplicity and power of his answer. My thanks to Pat Metheny for his time, his music, and his insightful responses. I'm Mike Foley. Talk to you again on the next Music Journey.